Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So Game of Thrones is back this weekend. Did that sound convincing, like I know what I'm talking about? Because I don't. Look, I have a lot of TV friends. Billions, I'm on board. Queen Sugar, can't wait to see what Nova Bordelon is up to. But as a disclaimer, I have never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. I know I hear you yelling at me through my headphones. I know there are dragons and Emilia Clarke, and that is about it. But I understand, as a managing editor, this is a huge cultural touchstone. So to help me out, the Gothamist Ben Yakis, he's staying put. He's a true Thrones expert. He's going to stick around and talk us through this. Okay. I have to read this. I have to actually read this verbatim because I do not know what I'm saying. Well, My producer wrote this.
These words must mean nothing to you. It's already a made-up language, basically.
All right, here we go. Here's the intro. Though it might feel like springtime outside, winter is here, everyone, at least in Westeros, that is. The final season of Game of Thrones premieres this Sunday, and fans have been waiting with bated breath to find out the resolution to the ultimate question, who will sit on the Iron Throne? But in a series that is famously packed with characters, history, and complex subplots, it can feel like all your Game of Thrones knowledge has gone out the window with those clothes you were Marie Kondo'd this winter. And there's no time to watch all seven seasons again, for most people anyway. Don't worry, the North remembers, even if you forgot. Freelance journalist and New York Times contributor Jennifer Vineyard has done all the watching for you. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
She's compiled a handy guide of Thrones newsletter for the Times, complete with a guide to rewatching every season. She's going to walk us through it, and maybe we'll talk about some predictions for season 8. And I'm going to do something now that I never do. I am just going to read the question someone else wrote, and I did not touch. I'm going to just read them directly off the paper.
Well, so you could just ask, like, your own questions, too. Like, is this thing?
No, I feel that there are people out there who really care about this, and they deserve to have well-written, well-researched questions.
Okay.
Jennifer, rewatching season 1, with the benefit of hindsight, you realize how much foreshadowing there is. How did the show set us up to learn that Jon Snow was the son of Rhaegar Targaryen. This is going to be like this all
this
spring,
great
people. And Lyanna Stark all the way at the beginning.
Well, there's a lot, even just in the first episode, that kind of hints, and in the second episode especially, too, where whenever Ned Stark is asked about John or, you know, is talking to John, he kind of has this very pained expression on his face. Like,
I'll tell you the next time we see each other.
If you could do the impressions throughout all this, this would be great.
Awesome.
I'll just bring it to life. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So, you know, it's like, and he always says things like, you know, You might not have my name, but you have my blood. You know, he's always hinting that maybe Jon Snow isn't exactly his bastard son and that there's more going on here. He won't talk about who Jon Snow's mother is. Robert, King Robert, his BFF, is asking him, like, so what kind of a woman would make you lose your honor?
Yeah, I mean, Ned Stark is like the most, literally, his reputation is he's the most honorable man in Westeros.
Yeah.
And even his best friend is like, what kind of lady got you to, like, stray this time? I mean, this must have been quite the lady up north.
And Ned's just like, I will never talk about her. You have to do the impressions. I can't
I will
them.
Never talk about... I'm doing, like, a Scottish impression now. I love Sean Bean, but I'll do my best.
Okay, I can't do his voice. But it's... There are a lot of things, basically.
Like, uh-huh. So many
that
things.
You're just looking at me like, huh?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Sure. Here's my next question. All the characters have changed dramatically since season 1, but which character struck you as being the most drastically different in the first season from how we will see them in the final season?
Ooh.
What do you think, Ben?
This is a good... What do you think?
Well, you could say Jaime in some ways, because when you first meet him, he seems a little kind of full of himself, and yeah. Our very first episode when we meet him, he kind of tosses a kid out a window and you think he's a villain.
Oh, yeah.
But you come to understand over the course of the series that he's got a big heart.
He always had it there. Yeah.
It's always been there. He's actually been the savior of the city. He saved King's Landing from the Mad King.
People say, like, you know, who have you saved, Kingslayer? I saved the whole city. I saved millions.
And yet he never gets the credit.
No.
Everyone always treats him.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They always treat him like, you're this awful guy because you killed your king. It's like, Yeah, but
he had to make the tough decision.
Yeah, tough call.
That was a tough thing.
What would you have done?
The person who I think has changed the most is Sansa.
Oh, okay.
Because she started out obviously as sort of a spoiled princess, and they were playing on the tropes of like the fantasy princess who is kind of sheltered.
Tales.
Yeah, exactly. Like wears frilly
wants
dresses,
to marry the prince.
Wants to make little babies for the prince who turns out to be a sociopath. And by season 8, where we are now, she's like one of the toughest, smartest, best political characters on the entire show. Mm-hmm. She's not going to let anyone get one over on her again. Littlefinger learned that the hard way.
We actually have a clip of her arguing with Jon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen to me, please. He wants you to make a mistake.
Of course he does. What should I do differently?
I don't know. I don't know anything about battles. Just don't do what he wants you to do.
Oh, that's good advice.
You think that's obvious?
Well, it is a bit obvious.
If you had asked for my advice earlier, I would have told you.
All right,
not
if you know nothing about this, it sounds a little bit like Monty Python. Just to say.
Yeah, you have enough time. If you sat down starting tonight for the next 3 days, you could binge watch the whole show.
Or you could just binge watch select episodes, which clue you in on the plot, which is something that we kind of guide you through. That's part of our little rewatch newsletter thing, because we know you're not going to have, 67
hours?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Oh, that's
what,
excellent.
You got something
cool.
better to
yeah.
do?
So, so if you only have a limited amount of time, for each season, we select the ones that you really need that give you the biggest plot points or the biggest emotional, you know, resonance, something that, you know, there's a huge revenge or a major death or, you know, love.
Somebody's eyes get poked out.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to get that in there.
What are the big questions that need to be answered in season 8? I just thought of that question. That's not
okay.
written
hey.
Down. That's a good question.
What are some of the big questions that need to be answered?
Well, there are a lot.
There are so many. I mean, obviously, people are very curious about how the war of the living versus the dead is going to go. I mean, this is like what we've all been building to. This is the end game.
I kind of feel like the big question in a way is, what does the Night King want?
Does he want anything? Like, is he just like a zombie dude who...
I don't think he is, because I think those art little things that he does, the little corpse art installations, that he's either trying to show
off
that he really is an artist at heart, the way Hitler, you know, actually wanted to do paintings of people, but couldn't
He's misunderstood.
Yeah. Or there's something else going on, that there's a larger thing going on that he's been trying to convey, or something that he wants, but he's, for whatever reason, unable to communicate with us. And either he's got something, you know, that he's trying to tell us and we've been ignoring, maybe based on a pact that the Children of the Forest
was broken many moons ago.
Right. Something with that or something else that we don't know. But clearly, because he's been garnering his forces for a very long time. He's had a lot of time to think about this.
He has come up with quite the plan. I mean, he's got an ice dragon now.
Yeah. He came prepared. And also, it's not an ice dragon.
It's a zombie dragon.
Yes.
Zombie dragon. It has ice blasts.
I have to break this up for a minute.
Oh.
I got about 45 seconds, so I want to ask one more question.
Okay.
Who do you think is most likely to be sitting on the Iron Throne at the end of the series?
I think that's a red herring question, because I don't think there will be an Iron Throne at the end of the series.
Ooh.
Ben?
Gilly.
Gilly. I don't know why I'm laughing.
You know what we're talking about. You're in on this.
Jennifer Vineyard and Ben Yakis, thank you so much for walking me through Game of Thrones. I'm going to need you guys again in the next few months.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Or to guide you through every Sunday.
All right.
If you're going to start watching, if you start watching, we will help you.
Why don't you come over and watch with us?
Yeah. Maybe I will. I like an invitation. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming up next on All of It, a memoir, Notes from a Young Black Chef. Our guest will be in studio in a moment.